Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome into the Tesla semi-delivery event live stream. Looking forward to watching this all with you, seeing what Tesla has to share with us this evening. We've got a few minutes here before the event starts, so we'll get a little mini Tesla daily episode in here beforehand. I thought that might work well. And of course, when the event starts, we'll tune in and see what Tesla's got for us. So let's flip over here and let me fix my audio and make sure everything is running all smoothly. Hopefully everything is working. Let me know if you guys can hear me and if everything is all set up. We got to use a slightly different setup than normal for this. So I'll wait for that and then we'll kind of get started here. So we'll flip over and we can see here little bit of action as we wait for the event. So spoiler, a little bit of a spoiler here, but as we can see some people entering the event, Tesla's got at least a couple of semis here and got even a little bit of a video here from some people checking in. Let me know if you guys can hear the audio on this so that I can make sure that's not too loud. If you can hear the audio on that so that we can make sure we don't have any issues when Tesla starts their stream. If you guys can hear that, then we'll be all good and ready to roll when Tesla fires it up. Thanks for the super chat, Lyle. Appreciate that. Sound is semi-normal. Hopefully that's all good. Yes, on the audio. Wait for some confirmation that that is both audios. All good. Can hear it. Awesome. All right, so again, we've got, you know, 5 or 6 minutes here. If you are joining this, of course, afterwards, I'll put timestamps in so you can skip ahead to when Tesla actually starts the event. Stick around after, and we'll talk about what we hear. Audio's drowning out. Sounds a little hollow. Yeah, I mean, the audio there isn't good audio. It just is a check to make sure that it's coming through. If it's a little loud, that's all right, too. I can lower that. Tesla's audio is usually a little bit quiet, so if we've got any problems, that's a good one to have. But yeah, once we start the Tesla stream, let me know if that's loud as well. All right, let's hop into some Tesla stuff here before the event starts. So interesting day with the stock. We ended up down flat, 0.0% movement on the day today. Tesla closing at the same price as yesterday, $194.70. The NASDAQ was up about 0.1% on the day today. So yeah, really not much that we have to say there today. Of course, probably market, although I was going to say the market may be waiting for the semi event, but usually stuff like this, the market tends to not care all that much about. So let's hop into the news then. Interesting report from Electrek here today. They say that a reliable source familiar with the matter told Electrek that Tesla is currently preparing for 75,000 Model Y vehicles to come out of Giga Texas next quarter, so Q1 2023. That would be an awesome number. That's about 5,800 per week if Tesla can hit that. We know, of course, for Berlin and for Texas, what Tesla communicated on the Q3 earnings call in late to mid-October was that they are trying to hit 5,000 per week at both of those factories before the end of the year. So if this is an accurate target that Electrek has, an accurate and updated target, that would indicate that Tesla is probably feeling pretty good about that for Austin and then continuing to ramp that up throughout Q1. So really exciting there if that does end up being the case. Hopefully we will see that. You know, no way for us to really confirm that right now, but you know, Electrek is saying that that is a reliable source. Update here from Drive Tesla Canada on Giga Berlin. We had talked previously this week about how they had indicated that the third shift, which we've had a lot of flip-flopping on already, would begin in December. Now they are saying that after a meeting with Elon Musk and the Giga Berlin team, the third shift is scheduled to start the second week of January. So again, we've had this move in and out of Q4, and it looks like now a little bit back out, but the second week of January, obviously not a huge delay on that, so I don't think too much to read into. You can maybe say that's, you know, slightly worse news than the report that we had earlier this week, but that was already pulled forward. So again, we just kind of go back and forth on that, but if Tesla does end up starting at the third week of January, I would definitely be happy with that. As for Giga Berlin, or sorry, as for Giga Shanghai, we've got a bit of an update there. Or sorry, one more thing here on Giga Berlin. Berlinergy on Twitter here reporting that Tesla has offered or suggested factory pickup to several customers in Germany. Some were offered a 400 euro voucher for shopping in the Tesla store. So Tesla store credits for taking delivery directly from the factory. Of course, that saves Tesla a little bit on transportation, which is a win, hopefully, for both sides. Getting a little bit of a gift card there for the customer and saving on that transportation and cost and time for Tesla. So not really surprised to see them incentivize that. Now on to Giga Shanghai. We've got, I think, 3 minutes left here. A kind of confusing report here from Ray for Tesla on Twitter today, talking about how Tesla China has updated their website to add additional messaging about the subsidy expiring on December 31st. So prices increasing on December 31st, or after December 31st, rather, as that subsidy expires. I'm not really sure why this report is, you know, why Ray is reporting this today. I looked back at our video from October 24th when these price cuts were made. So a month ago, we can see here. Here's the text that was there on that episode. You know, here's the text that is here now. It's largely the same. Here's a little difference checker. So the new text, today's text, is on the right here. And as you can see, there's really no different language. They've, you know, changed a couple of words. That could just be translation updates, a little bit different translation, but no material changes to any of the text that was here before. So saw some people taking that as good news, as, you know, hey, Tesla's increasing the prices, but they're just letting customers know that once that subsidy goes away, it's not going to be there, and then that would yield a higher price to the customer. So no change there. That's how it's been. I would love some good news on that front too, in terms of anything that looks like strength in the Chinese market, but can't take that as one of those signs. Conversely, unfortunately, we do have a report here that Model Y production, you know, don't know how credible this is, but Model Y production working hours at Tesla Shanghai plant were reduced from 11.5 hours per shift to 9.5 hours per shift. I assume they say per day there, but that's probably per shift. And they say that there was a break from November 28th through December 2nd. So we'll have to keep an eye on Wuhua videos. Hopefully he had a chance to get to the factory at that point. And we'll see if, you know, anything came out of that. I'm going to take a quick pause since we are approaching the top of the hour here. I'm going to flip over, see if this event is getting started. Let me lower that sound here for a second. Get my earbuds in here. So I'll keep an eye on that, or keep an ear on that, and we'll flip over to that when Tesla does start. So you're not going to be missing anything. Again, if you're just tuning in here, we've got the event up. We're just waiting for Tesla to start it. As we do that, we're just kind of going through some of the news for the day. We were on Shanghai, just a report here. Again, not sure how credible, but that there has been a little bit of a reduction in terms of the production line hours and potentially a break taken from November 28th through December 2nd. Which, of course, would be tomorrow. So we'll have to see on that, continue to monitor that. If there is production downtime, you know, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe that's coming from the supply chain. You know, could be a demand thing. We'll just have to kind of wait and see on that. So again, I think continuing to monitor the China market is going to be pretty important. Got an update here as well that Tesla China is offering a promotion in December for 23,500 referral points. So we talked about how Tesla has changed over their referral program in the US as well. This would be worth about 5,000 supercharging miles. So I'm not sure exactly what the dollar value of that would be. Someone out there can maybe do the math in the live chat right now. I won't risk that at this point, but on top of that, then there's also the 4,000 RMB insurance subsidy. I think that only comes to, you know, a few hundred dollars. So not major, and that would actually be stepped down slightly from November. So even though we do get, it was 8,000 in November. So even though we do get a little bit of a added referral program point system here for December, that is, you know, offsetting a little bit of a step down in the insurance subsidy, which was originally planned when that was reintroduced back on November 7th. And then kind of the last thing for Tesla in the US market is Tesla has added for new inventory, which they've started to have a little bit of here as we wrap up the quarter. They've added a credit for $3,750 for purchases of Model 3 or Model Y if people take delivery this month. Now this, you know, shouldn't be a huge concern. Of course, we know that as we head into next year, the Inflation Reduction Act will take hold. There are EV credits associated with that. We still are waiting to see the official guidance on, you know, what exactly, how exactly the government is qualifying certain things in terms of the battery components, in terms of battery materials, which we need to know for understanding of how much of that credit Tesla is going to be eligible for right away. So we're kind of waiting on that. While we wait for that, though, people are obviously going to be withholding delivery to try and take advantage of that credit that starts on January 1st. So Tesla just offsetting some of that withholding with a credit, a little bit of an incentive to just say, hey, you know, take delivery now, and you'll end up getting the same deal that you might be getting post-credit. So we'll just have to wait and see again on what those exact details are. But in the meantime, Tesla offering a little boost to get those people in that situation to maybe just say, okay, I'll take delivery before the end of the year. So we don't have any other details on how Tesla's doing that. We don't know if this is just, you know, new inventory or if it's all new vehicles, you know, custom ordered as well. And although we do see it when you go through the design studio process with this inventory vehicle, so this is the same car here, they just add it onto the invoice or subtract it off of the invoice rather. And there's really no details on how that works, so we don't know if that's just inventory or custom orders as well. If you're just joining, we're still waiting for Tesla to start the event, so in the meantime we're just going to continue to, you know, talk about what's going on with Tesla. If you're new, I do this every day, every weekday at least, so I would recommend subscribing. We go through all the news and talk about what's important, what's not, and how that fits into Tesla from a long-term point of view. While we're waiting, last night, Neuralink did have an event as well, so Elon showed up at that, which is kind of funny. Kind of funny seeing Elon pop up at all these different events. I'm sure we'll see him this evening as well. You know, one, he's tweeting about things about Twitter all day, and then shows up at night at the Neuralink event, and then today we've got him at the Semi event. It's a little bit surreal sometimes seeing what Elon is up to, but the Neuralink event was very interesting to watch, very lengthy, kind of reminded me of AI Day. Let's flip over here. Looks like some of the music is changing a little bit, but I don't think we've got anything happening here yet. Yeah, we're still waiting. So anyway, the Neuralink event, if you didn't have a chance to watch it, great events. Reminded me a bit of AI Day. They went into pretty technical details on the progress that they've made since our last update, which was a couple of years ago. A couple of big things here. Elon saying that we're now confident that the Neuralink device is ready for humans. So timing is a function of working through the FDA approval process for initial human trials. And they say that they expect this to happen in the next 6 months or so. So that's super exciting. Of course, all the testing right now limited to animals. You can read on Neuralink's website about how they make that testing as safe as possible for those animals, how important that is for them. So they talk a lot about that as well. One thing that was really, really interesting, probably the most interesting part of the night for me, they were talking about how in one of their pig subjects, they did install two Neuralink devices. So we've seen them use Neuralinks in pigs' brains before and seen sort of the things that they've been able to measure from that. This time they showed us an update where they've actually got two Neuralinks in a pig, one in its brain and then one in the spinal cord, and they're actually able to stimulate the muscles in the pig's leg from the Neuralink device in the spinal cord. So they talked about, you know, here you can see the neurons and the readout of those neurons firing in the cortex and in the spinal cord. They figured out how to then stimulate those neurons to do certain things with the pig's muscles in the pig's leg. So super, super cool progress to see this. You know, this is also very surreal. I don't know if I'm on the exact right timestamp here, but we can kind of see, I'll have to go back slightly here, but you can see the pig's leg contract when they tell it to contract. Like the Neuralink is causing that action, that stimulus, and the pig's muscles are reacting to those, to that input from the Neuralink device. So again, super cool to see this. The other thing that was perhaps new for Neuralink is that they showed demonstrations of their monkey participants, and they would train them to look at different flashes of light that come up on a screen. Give them a little bit of a reward with a banana smoothie. They seem to really strongly incentivize them with banana smoothies, which is fun, but give them a little bit of a reward for following that action. And then they actually look at how the neurons in the brain are firing as recorded by the Neuralink device. And then they're able to recreate that and actually input that stimulus. So we're talking input output here. Reading would be the output. Input that signal for like reverse engineering how the monkey's brain reacts to that flash of light, and then inputting that through the Neuralink so that they react in the same way even when no flash of light is presented. So although there isn't anything on the screen that they're looking at flashing light, that's how it appears to them in their mind. So it's really, really cool if you think about that, what that could entail for the future, potentially being able to supplement vision if vision is weak or even non-existent for potentially for humans. So super exciting. Their device right now is 1,000 channels. They're going to be up to 16,000 channels with their next generation. So they're going to be able to do a lot more of that in, higher pixel density, essentially. So really cool stuff that's happening at Neuralink. Again, it's 2-hour presentation there, but definitely would recommend watching that. And although it is pretty technical, they do a pretty good job of, walking through that and understanding all of that. So now we wait. We're still waiting here for the semi event to begin. So as we can see, Tesla has not started yet. We're still just waiting. Not super uncommon. This tends to happen with Tesla events. Just waiting on Elon. So until then, we'll just kind of hang out. I'll take a look here at the chat. Saw someone say, Rob is looking forward to Neuralink Daily. Definitely. I mean, I would recommend for anyone that is interested in Neuralink, a great podcast out there called Neuropod, done by a buddy of mine, Ryan Tanaka. He does a great job following all the Neuralink updates, so definitely recommend checking his channel out if you are interested in that. Oh, sorry, it looks like I had the audio back on there. Might have been live. Might have been loud. Tesla is live on Twitter. All right, so hopefully it should be starting here on YouTube as well. Or someone's just messing with me. That's also possible. Right. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I know the music was there. I flipped over to my other browser and the music was on for that browser. Tesla is live on Twitter. All right, let me see if we can find that. It's not going to be orientated properly, but uh-oh. So I'm running two keyboards here, live stream stuff. So let's see. You guys can see my last search there, Neuralink pig. That's funny. Let's see. So yeah, it looks like they are live on Twitter, but not actually live. We're just, waiting for the event to start. So same situation on Twitter as what we've got on YouTube, just kind of waiting in the wings right now. I did see some super chats. Let me go back and see if any of those were questions. Do appreciate that. Definitely helps the channel. Let's see if we can get some of these on here. Chances of Tesla PE below Apple's. Good question. Probably pretty low. I don't know what exactly Apple's PE is right now, price earnings ratio. They're probably somewhere in the mid to high 20s, I would guess. I would be pretty surprised if Tesla got down to that level. All right, looks like we got some action here. So I'm gonna let that run. Type.
All right, welcome to Sparks, Nevada, site of the Tesla Gigafactory and our Tesla semi-truck factory as well. So, yeah, I can't believe it's been 5 years. We unveiled the Tesla semi 5 years ago. It's been a lot that's happened since then, to say the least. But we're incredibly excited tonight to actually deliver our first production Tesla semi-trucks. And it's right next door to the Giga Nevada, our Gigafactory here, which produces the most number of battery cells in North America. It produces our drive units and battery packs. I'd just like to just start off by giving a big hand to the Tesla Gigafactory team and the Tesla semi-truck team. It's like... I think you've had a chance to tour the production line, so cool, right? We're looking forward to actually delivering our first production trucks to PepsiCo. So this is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and also a huge thank you to all of our other customers. I mean, a lot's happened in the last 5 years, and our customers have been super loyal and supportive and stuck with us and been a huge part of our development, and we're excited to show everything that we've been doing off to everybody tonight.
Great, so let's get started. Sorry for the delay. It's been like sheer amount of drama between this 5 years ago and now is insane. A lot has happened in the world. But here we are, and it's real. So.
Yeah, we threw a great party a few years back, and trying to do a similar thing here tonight. And Tesla's been growing like crazy. I mean, everybody here has been contributing towards the growth and unveiling awesome products and really scaling us to the point that now we can actually work on semi, and we're really excited to do that. But we've been working a little bit on the background, close to the chest, right level of priority, but made a lot of progress, incorporated a lot of things that we're going to talk about. And at the end of the day, we have not wavered from our mission to build the most compelling, greatest Class 8 truck in history. So we're going to keep putting our foot forward to do that, and it's pretty awesome.
People might wonder, why build a semi-truck? Because if you look at the actual unit volume, it's small compared to passenger vehicles. So for passenger vehicles, there's on the order of almost 100 million that are sold every year. And whereas semi-trucks, it's four or 500,000.
Not even, yeah. It's a couple hundred thousand Class 8 trucks a year.
Globally.
Yeah. Or no. Sorry, that's U.S.
Yeah. In the U.S. there's 15 million passenger vehicles and a couple hundred thousand semi trucks. So it seems like a small percentage, but it's actually 20% of U.S. vehicle emissions because you've got a huge vehicle and it's being driven all the time. So when you factor in the number of hours driven and the weight that it's carrying, it's actually, although it's only 1% of vehicle production, it's 20% of vehicle emissions. And it's over a third of all the particulate emissions. So from a sort of health standpoint, particularly in like cities, this is a huge impact, like it's gigantic. So that's why we're doing it, So, yeah.
Yeah, this is really core to our mission. And to Elon's point, there's a lot of heavy trucks that are deployed in dense urban areas. And so the communities that are around freeways, a lot of where these trucks are domiciled, are going to really benefit, particularly from the particulate emissions reductions, and then just trying to reduce emissions globally. Every truck that we put on the road that replaces a diesel truck is a huge amount of leverage. And so that is why we're doing this, and makes a huge difference towards driving us towards our total mission of sustainable energy and transportation.
Yeah, I think maybe a lot of people don't realize it's actually quite unhealthy to be living next to a highway with diesel trucks, FYI. being able to make them electric is just going to be, in addition to sort of climate change and global warming matters. It's also quiet, and it's going to improve the quality of your air, and it will actually just fundamentally improve the health of people living near freeways, which is obviously a super big deal.
So, yeah, if anybody's been woken up at a noisy truck delivering in the morning, you know, the quiet will definitely be very welcome. I know I'll appreciate that.
Yeah. So we're aiming to cover all major forms of transport. It's just consistent with the Tesla mission, because sometimes I get asked, like, well, you know, shouldn't a Tesla just produce, like, fast cars or premium cars or whatever? It's like, but what's our actual mission? Our actual mission is to accelerate the advent of sustainable energy. So that's why we're making this wide range of cars that don't really make sense from a brand standpoint, I guess, traditionally, but they make total sense when you consider what's the mission of the company. The mission of the company is to accelerate sustainable energy, and so it's super consistent with that goal, really a crucial piece of the puzzle, and that's why we're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, Elon, you first laid this out in Master Plan Part 2, and you know, now we're here to actually make it happen, and you know, everything from the mission side, along with reducing the cost of cargo transport, and also make it fun. I mean, we want to make the truck an awesome driving experience, you know, make it kick ass for the drivers.
Yeah, I mean, it looks sick. I mean, look at that thing. I mean, you want to drive that. I mean, that thing looks like it came from the future. It drives like it's like driving a Tesla, literally. it's fun, it looks awesome. And, you know, there's actually a big shortage of drivers. And so if you're a truck driver and you want the most badass rig on the road, this is it. So. Yeah, that's it. It's a beast. At Tesla, we don't make slow cars. We don't make this thing has crazy power relative to a diesel truck. I mean, actually, especially if you're not towing anything, you could zip around like it looks crazy. Basically, it looks like a elephant moving like a cheetah. It didn't look right, frankly. But this is not sluggish in the least. It's fast. It's fast to accelerate. It's fast to brake. It's really a step change improvement in what it's like to drive a semi-truck. We've got times the power.
Three times the power than any diesel truck on the road right now. So you got all the work, all the power you need to get the job done. But the other reason that it's a beast is because it's also efficient. And you know, you can go 500 miles on a single charge on one of these things. So it's the mix of those two that this is why this is a game changer. And what's awesome is both of those are enabled by our new 1,000-volt powertrain, which is the first vehicle that we're doing with that. And don't worry, there'll be some more things, more vehicles coming with that. But this is going to be a game changer because of all the awesome innovations that have happened, you know, behind the scenes and you know, under the hood, so to speak.
Cool. Yeah. So we're obviously leveraging a ton of stuff that we've already done. So we've got, it's now probably 51 billion miles driven. I don't know. It's more every day. So we're using our existing drive units, power electronics, infotainment, our super efficient heat pump, HVAC system, and state-of-the-art inverters. So we're able to leverage the existing powertrain and elements that are already made at volume in order to achieve extreme efficiency of cost and capability.
So. Yeah, and it also means we get to leverage all the reliability that the active car fleet is doing. So we're accumulating all these miles, getting a ton of demonstrated learnings into the field, and we're going to go and put all these trucks into the world and get a lot of learnings as well, but we're coming off of a great launching pad with everything that's done in the rest of our products already. And it's also enabled because you know, Tesla's got this full vertical integration on the software and the hardware side. So the teams that are working together to put all that together into one package, this is a huge win, you know, for all of our products, but particularly Semi.
Lots of hardcore testing. So, I mean, one of the things about a commercial truck is that the reliability has to be extremely high. So it's got to be running continuously, can't break down. It's got to handle every kind of weather. uptime is super important for any kind of semi-truck. So we've tested durability in every kind of weather, every kind of environment.
Yeah, I mean, we've driven Donner. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but we've been through hot, cold, snow, rain. We've been putting this thing through all its paces in the lab as well as in the real world. You know, the simulation team has been doing an incredible job of being able to scale all of that, you know, in the virtual side. And the other thing is that we're going to take these and we're going to put our money where our mouth is. And we're going to put these on into our own fleet, into our own supply chain. And we're going to use this to transport goods between our factories and our suppliers, because we believe in it, not just from a mission perspective and a cost perspective, but because we want to close that feedback loop. We got to get that learning as fast as we can. We want it straight from the drivers. We want it straight from the service techs that are working on it. We're going to take all that data that's coming in and continue to refine the product and make it better, just like we do on the car side.
Yeah, exactly. So to be clear, like these semi-trucks are running 24/7 between our Sparks, technically in Sparks, not Reno, but most people will think of it as Reno Sparks, and Tahoe. And this is technically called the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Complex, or TRIC. Now there's an interesting backstory about why it's called that.
Very.
Yeah. So, anyway, Tesla using the trucks continuously day and night between here and Fremont and back again is going to be a great test of the vehicle and will give us a great feedback loop for continuing to improve the product. So my click is sort of not working.
There we go.
All right. So yeah, we've got a tri-motor powertrain system. So we're using the Carbonov wrap sleeve. So essentially, we're using the Plaid Model S, Model X powertrain. Actually enabling the two of the drive units to actually disconnect. So that they're not free spinning. The efficiency is actually much greater in cruise.
Yeah, this is really unique. I mean, we're going with a tri-motor system. One of them is constantly engaged, so that's for maximum efficiency. You're getting on the highway, that's doing the bulk of the work, and it's operating at the peak efficiency point of the entire drivetrain. And then the other two units are for torque and acceleration. So when the driver needs it to get their job done, whether that's, you know, getting out of a loading dock or it's on the road, they need to pass somebody, you're tackling a grade, you have the torque and power to do it. And the cool thing is that these are clutched automatically, so no driver input needed, but it's also seamless. So the highway efficiency unit is cruising along doing its thing, and if the driver puts their foot to the floor, the torque unit spin up, clutch engages, and takes over, and it does all of that before we've maxed out the torque on the efficiency unit, so it's completely smooth. There's no turbo lag or jerkiness or anything like that. No driver input needed. It's smooth, both in terms of acceleration and deceleration for regen. It's really cool, happening all behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, what I find actually really wild about this is that you can have a truck which is 82,000 pounds. And by the way, the reason we can actually do 82,000 pounds is that there's a 2,000 pound extra that's allowed by law for electric trucks. So you get a little bit of a advantage on the weight side. But you can basically pull 82,000 pounds at cruise using, and the only thing that's doing that is a tiny little motor on one axle.
Oh, that big. About a football size, maybe?
Yeah, you can carry it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a, you know,
melon. I mean, you can check it in your luggage. Good luck doing that with a diesel engine. And one of those is more powerful than a diesel. Yeah.
Yeah, just that one little guy is more powerful than a regular diesel engine on a semi-truck. But it's just, I find it like amazing that this enormous thing can be pulled by something that you could carry in your hands. It's like, wow, that's power density.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and then in terms of, you know, we're putting this to use in the real world. Yeah. So that truck's clocking in at 82. That's weighing 82,000 pounds. And when you see that pass shot again, you'll notice that speedometer is climbing. You know, we're going 6% and accelerating up that grade. This is where it comes in.
Yeah, it's like driving a normal car, not like driving a truck. It's just that you're moving 82,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So any highway grade you come across, you can tackle at speed.
Yeah.
You know, there's no compromise.
No slowdown.
Nope. And the other beauty is that you've got all this power going up, but you also have it going down. And what that means is you've got regenerative braking. So rather than using a Jake brake or engine braking like a diesel truck does, where you have to worry about hitting your shifts. If you miss a gear, you're onto your brakes and potentially in a runaway situation. You don't have to worry about any of that. There's no shifting, no nothing. And so the regen recaptures all that energy as you're going down these grades. But on top of it, it also is a safer system for not just the driver, but everybody on the road, because there's no gear to miss.
I mean, just it's worth reemphasizing that point. Because it's an electric drivetrain, when it goes downhill, when you slow down, it recaptures the energy of motion or the energy of height. The potential and kinetic energy are largely recaptured. Whereas for a diesel truck, that's not possible. You can't just create diesel. So you just end up heating brakes. And then your brakes overheat, and you can't use them, and then it's pretty dangerous because the brakes stop working.
Yeah, that's why you have runaway truck ramps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because, so if for any of you that have ever driven I-80 and driven Donner, there's a mandatory brake check stop for trucks down by Emigrant Gap. We've done this, and it's really funny because we'll go over the grade, we'll come down, and we just kind of pull to the side, and we're like, well, there's nothing to check. We've never used the things, and we just keep driving. Yeah.
Yeah. And we get to the bottom of the hill, we have cold brakes.
Yeah.
That's like mind-blowing in the trucking world. So it's like insane, basically. So it's really worth emphasizing that. That's a significant safety improvement for the truck driver and for other people on the road. We also have excellent traction control, because the precision of an electric motor is vastly better than a diesel engine. It's sort of got like the, I'm trying to think of the right analogy here, but like it's got the precision of like a laser printer. It's not great. It's like really precise. That's what I'm saying. The reaction is, so it's like you don't have to worry about, traction control is awesome. It's got, it's automatically stopping the truck from jackknifing. It's doing all this safety stuff in the background that just isn't possible with regular diesel trucks. It's a step change in technology in so many ways.
And the tight integration with the software team that we have here really makes that happen, because it means that we could take all that the precision and actually put it to use. You know, it's not some tie-in of some third-party powertrain. No, this is all in-house. And so we do this really neat chassis control work at the brake level, the traction control level. We integrate with our total stability control system and make sure that the driver has a lot of confidence, but also has everything they need to stay on the road. It's going to be it's a really nice, neat integrated package overall in terms of software and control, and it's totally seamless to the driver, and it'll be a game changer in terms of safety.
Yeah.
So we talked power. You want to talk efficiency?
Yeah, absolutely. Some people out there say it can't be done. I don't know who might say that, but I've heard rumors. So we just did it. yeah. And we're going to post the whole video, unedited, on YouTube.
Yeah. And
no jump cuts.
Yeah. And this wasn't, some ultra clean, precise test track simulation or something where we, shut down a road. Nope, this is real world. This is over Grapevine. This is with traffic. This is true 500 miles. We were loaded just under 82K. We didn't, no special aero treatments.
Yeah.
Truck came off the line, shook it down, made it run. That's it.
Yeah, there was like no fast moves here.
Nope.
So to be clear, it's not like, what tricks did they pull? Were there actually a whole bunch of tricks we could have pulled and didn't? like as Dan said, like no special aero treatment.
And by the way, we should mention there was no charging. Like we charged the truck. Yeah, we didn't stop the charge. Single driver
one shift. Exactly.
Yeah.
Good point.
minor detail.
So it's not like 500 miles, like with no load, with special aero and special everything. It's like fully loaded, going from the Bay Area, we actually had to like go a bit north to get to, you know, actually add to get to 500 miles because you get, you know, LA to the Bay Area is less than that.
Well, we went all the way to San Diego here, so we stretched out on the southern end, and I mean, do you want to see on the video? I mean, we have the proof.
Absolutely. So it's only 8 hours long. So
yeah, buckle in. Don't worry, we brought lots of snacks.
Yeah.
But yeah, standard trip. Down the 5, up Grapevine, through LA, traffic, construction. You know, we got the bypass on the way station, but you know, running full 80 or just under 82, full deliveries, nothing to hide.
Yeah. So. Yeah, real world.
He did take one restroom break for. There is a required mandatory 30-minute break within the first 8 hours of operation. Okay. Took a small restroom break, but that was it. Yep.
All right. Cool. So aerodynamic efficiency obviously matters a lot. And you can see it's shaped like a bullet. It's really aerodynamic. That helps a lot. We get to less than 2 kilowatt hours.
2 kilowatt hours a mile.
Yep. So.
And that's the name of the game, is efficiency there. Yep.
Yep. So, I mean, it's really efficient in every way. And
I mean, the team's done a lot of awesome work. I mean, we went into the wind tunnel with this really cool model, rolling road, the whole nine yards, and pulled in a lot of the learnings and all of our features from the car side that, you know, give us such great real-world efficiency there. And really want to make sure that the truck and the trailer have to work together. You know, this is a combination. This is not just the truck. If you optimize one, you actually might disrupt the whole combination. And so we spent a lot of time both, you know, virtually, but also in the wind tunnel to make this happen, and really some next level engineering to of everything they had to do there. And you know, it means that we've got a really efficient truck.
Yeah. As I said, it's as easy to drive as a Model 3. So it's like with basically no training, you can drive this. You have to think bigger when you're driving it. But it's not like it's not hard to drive. It's really easy. And we put the seat in the center for max visibility. It's low floor. You can stand up in the cabin.
Yeah, and that's actually like a really big deal. I mean, you're a tall guy, Elon. You're able to stand up just fine. And you know, the nice thing is that if you're a truck driver and you're out during the day and it's cold, it's snowy, whatever, you can get in and this isn't a sleeper cab, this is a day cab. You can still stand up and you can shed your jacket, put it on the wall, all in the comfort. You can put your coveralls on while in the cab. So if you have to go do a dirty job, you can do that comfortably as opposed to being out in the elements. So that's, you know, that level of space is unheard of. And we were able to do that with some pretty innovative packaging. And on top of it, there's plenty of cargo storage, for drivers that need to bring any tools, other equipment along. And not to mention, we've got the plugins, the wireless charging, everything they need on the electronic side as well.
Yep. Yeah, so I've got efficiency in every aspect of the vehicle. I've got one touch, a suspension dump, so it's very easy to attach to the trailer. It saves time and money. It's the fleet's more efficient, and the driver's home sooner.
Yeah, I mean, really, we're trying to extend the idea of this efficiency from not just while you're on the road, but into the yard as well. That's before and after the truck has done its job on the road, because that means that drivers at the end of the day are spending less time at the yard and they're getting home earlier. And it makes their lives easier. We got a light test that's easy to execute, helps with compliance. There's all these little things that the design team really spent their time researching. They did ride-alongs, they studied, they did all this work. It was really cool to watch them put, I think they even took like a bunch of like the various cups and put them in CAD, and you'll see them like put them in various cup holder sizes and places. They'll like mock up a bag. They'll do all kinds of neat stuff to understand how a driver works throughout the day, and it means that they'll have a more efficient experience overall.
Yeah. Great. Obviously, to charge a truck like this quickly, you need a high-power charger. So we developed a megawatt-class charger that's just capable of charging at a megawatt to DC.
Yeah.
And it's our next-generation immersive cooling, so it's liquid-cooled. So you don't need like a gigantic elephant trunk of a cable. You can actually have a small cable, and that cable delivers a megawatt. We've 3x the current density.
I mean, this is really cool stuff. I mean, you're actually immersing the conductor in the coolant, this water-based coolant that we have, and we're then doing some really neat isolation monitoring on the back end to ensure that it's safe and delivering that it needs to. But it means that we can really shove a lot of current in a very, very small place. So, you know, for those that have worked and charged their cars on a V3 supercharger and the cable's nice and, you know, maneuverable, it's the same thing here, but now we're just shoving a megawatt through it instead. So, you know, this is key for high power applications like Semi, but you want to tell them or do you want me to tell them?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be used for Cybertruck too.
Yeah. So this is coming to our superchargers next year.
Yeah.
So.
So the future of transport obviously requires a sustainable energy infrastructure. So you got to have all aspects of the energy question answered. Sustainable power generation, then you've got to store the power, and then you transfer the power to the vehicle. So the three pillars of a sustainable energy future are sustainable power generation with solar and wind. I'm actually a fan of nuclear, which we should support, and geothermal and many others. But things that are sustainable long-term, but things like wind and solar are intermittent, so you have to have the battery pack to store the energy, so when the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine, you still have energy. And you can also buffer the power so you're not overloading the grid with spike loads.
Yeah, and our Semi customers are actively deploying this today. And you know, we're working with them so that they have the pathway to get towards, you know, 100% sustainable future. You know, but we have all of this at our disposal, you know, commercial solar and Megapack. And you know, the Megapack is great because not only can it do things like peak shaving or some of the other energy modulation, but it also provides a form of redundancy and backup. I mean, if we're going to ask, you know, a fleet to take on these trucks and run them, they need to ensure that they're going to be able to charge them and keep their fleet running, even in the event of a power outage. And that's one of the things that we can do with the Megapack on site as well.
All right. So, and first deliveries are now.
Yeah.
So we'd just like to thank PepsiCo. They've been a great partner. Hey, guys. Hey,
how's it going?
Thank you.
Hey, how's it going? We completed our first cargo run with a very enormous amount of Frito-Lays, which I'm sure we have a lot of them here.
Yeah. And yesterday, we were actually able to complete our first delivery, compliments of Frito-Lay. We took a truck down to their Modesto factory from here, and one of their drivers, we delivered the truck, they took it over, and they brought back a load of snacks for everybody here to enjoy tonight. Yep. So, big thanks to Kirk and Steven. Yeah.
Do you guys want to say anything?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Look. Nothing like this happens without amazing people. And so I just want to thank the people that spent countless hours to make this a reality. That's it. The people.
I just want to echo. I know a lot of work went into it, and this is fantastic. We're thrilled about the delivery today. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for letting us be a part of this. Thank you so much. Woo. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you all for coming. It's been a long journey, along 5 years. This is going to really revolutionize the roads, and I think make the world a better place in a meaningful way. So thank you for your support through all the years.
All All right. Hey, everybody. Let's talk about this. Get my mic back up here. Hopefully the audio levels are kind of close enough that it's not anything too crazy here. See if anything else happens on this stream. My feeling is that it's most likely over. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we learned more about charging the Cybertruck than we did about the Tesla Semi. I think we knew a lot of that stuff going in. Of course, Elon had previously tweeted about the 500-mile range test. Super exciting. So they said they're 97% to 4% state of charge. So actual range would be a little bit higher than that. Not that you want to run it down to zero, but super exciting to see that. I was trying to look up the elevation. I'm running like two keyboards here, but I was trying to look up the elevation for the elevation change from Fremont to San Diego. Throughout the drive, obviously there's going to be changes, but I kind of wonder what the net change would be, as that will be kind of an interesting one to note. You know, if San Diego's a lot lower than Fremont, that would be a factor to consider when we're thinking about that range. So if anyone knows a resource where I can get that, I was trying to look on Google Maps, but definitely want to check that out, see what that was, that elevation change was. So let's kind of scroll back through here. We learned probably one of the most exciting things. You know, they're doing a full 81,000-ish payload up a 6% incline on the Donner Pass. That's awesome to see. Basically using the Plaid powertrain they talked about. Maybe not the exact same motors, but similar technology being used there. Semi's running 24/7 between Sparks and Fremont. 1,000-volt powertrain, that's really exciting. I think right now Tesla uses 400. So that'll be an architecture change for Tesla moving forward, it sounds like. He said that they'll do that for future vehicles. You know, we don't know exactly which vehicles or if that's going to be every vehicle, but certainly sounds like that's going to be the architecture for the Cybertruck. That should really save on weight on the wiring that needs to be in the vehicle, among other things. So exciting to see that. Other than that, I don't know that we really learned a whole lot that we didn't know going in. Kind of the voltage architecture and the charging, and then just a lot of details about what Tesla is doing to kind of make this a real step up over, you know, the type of vehicles that are available right now in the Class 8 market. It's quickly the only advantage is becoming if you have a trip that's more than 500 miles. So phenomenal to see this. Tesla's going to be able to take as much market here as the production will allow. We'll do some more market analysis later there. Elon talked, you know, about how this, I think they said a couple hundred thousand a year in the US, maybe 400, 500,000 worldwide. So this isn't going to be, you know, some multi-million unit per year type of thing. But we'll see. You know, Tesla should be able to take a pretty big chunk of that and significantly reduce emissions. You know, if Tesla's taking, what, 25% of that 20% market, 5% of emissions, that can be not pretty easily cut out, but it's obviously a lot of work, a long time went into this, but it's an emissions area that's pretty ripe for the picking, and Tesla's going to be able to take advantage of that. So excited about that. A couple of things I would have liked to learn is the battery capacity. I didn't really expect Tesla to tell us really about that. I'm not terribly surprised that they didn't cover that. And then the price. We still haven't heard about price. So Tesla had previously said, I can't remember, $180,000 roughly. I think that was the price for the 500 mile. And then I think the 300 mile was $150,000, something like that, which is only a small percentage above what a diesel semi would cost. I would imagine that Tesla's bumped that price up a bit given recent market conditions, you know, inflation and stuff like that, and just in general where it should be priced at. It should be a lot higher than that with the amount of energy that this is going to save. I mean, regenerative braking alone, that's going to make a huge difference. If you just even had a diesel that had regenerative braking, You know, I guess they could do that a little bit with hybrids, and I'd probably need to look into that. There's probably some of that going on, but even that is going to make a big difference before you even account for the gains from an electric powertrain. I mean, Elon talked about how they've got football size engines and or football size motors, and even one of those is going to produce more power than a diesel engine would. So then you've got three of those, and you know, there's really no comparison. So exciting to see some of that. Exciting to see the demo, that Donner Pass, you know, going up 6% incline, 45 miles an hour, passing that other one with full payload. And of course, on the way back down, they talked about all the problems that can cause with semis. So super exciting. And then on the Cybertruck, man, that's awesome that we're going to see that. You know, we had talked about version 4 superchargers. Marco RP Tesla on Twitter had shown some site plans that had version 4 superchargers, and it did have those sort of new format pedestals that Tesla's shown in the video there with the semi. So, you know, I think we kind of thought those were the mega chargers, and then version 4 might be a smaller charger in a similar style, but it kind of seems like that's just the V4 supercharger. And it kind of seems like we're just going to start seeing those at supercharger stations. Maybe it's not going to be every single pedestal or pillar, but I think that's kind of what it is. So, megawatt, 1,000 kilowatts, up from the 250 max today. So four times the peak power. Of course, the huge question is, how long can you sustain that? You know, if you're only getting that peak power for a minute or two, it's not going to cut off, you know, such a huge percentage of your charging time. So that is still an important consideration. The bigger the battery, the more that's going to save time. But you know, the higher state of charge that's going to be able, or the higher rate of power that's going to be able to absorb for longer. And of course, the Cybertruck, we expect to have a pretty big battery, as the Semi would as well. All right, so let's. I'm super excited about the charging situation. Super excited about the architecture. The Semi, would love to have heard a little bit more on some of the finer details, but great overview on some of the benefits that's gonna provide. Steven or Stefan here asking, Rob, we heard 82,000 as total vehicle weight plus load weight. Any news what the payload max is? And of course, thanks for the no nonsense analysis. You're welcome. Thanks for the super chat. So I need to do a little bit more research on this, but I think there's been some math done on the cargo that you saw Tesla carrying there. And I think those things each weigh 11,000 pounds, if I remember correctly. And I think there were 8 of them. That's not right. I think there were 4 of them. So I think the payload there was like 44,000 pounds and whatever that would leave you with. Yep. See, using my wrong keyboard there. Let me just get that off there. But I think the, let's see here. Get my correct keyboard. 81. Yeah, so I think we're looking at something like 37,000 pounds would be the truck weight. And of course, the trailer. I don't know if that's correct terminology for the cargo bed, but I think we're somewhere in that 37,000 pound ballpark, and I think that's within a couple of thousand pounds of what a diesel plus trailer would be. I need to do a little bit more research on that, but from my understanding, it's pretty much in the same ballpark, which is great, because that means that, you know, you're not making a payload sacrifice when you're transporting things with a Tesla Semi. So that's great. That's huge news. We'll have to do a little bit of confirmation on that, but if that is the case, definitely great. Good question though. Let's see. Got another one here. Will Cybertruck have a regular Tesla port and 1 megawatt plus, so it can use V3 and megawatt? Yeah. So I think let me see if I can even go back here. We can probably even see that slide. That would be a smart thing to do. I think they're using, you know, same architecture. I guess I assume this is a cross section of the cable. So it looks like the cable is actually the same size here as V3, which I guess presumably would mean that the connector is the same as well. I guess we don't know that for sure, but you know, they're not going to make the Cybertruck not compatible with the version 3 superchargers. Whether that involves an adapter or not, I think that would be the open question. You know, I don't know if we can get a an idea from that if we can find the that short video of them doing the actual charging. It kind of always looked to me like that was a little bit bigger of a connector. Let's see if we can see this here. It always looked to me like a little bit bigger of a connector, but that could have just been my assumption. Yeah, I mean, that looks a lot bigger. quick shot there, but you know, you can see that that's, he's kind of using two hands on this thing and looks pretty hefty. So that to me looks like a different connector. I guess we'll just kind of have to see how that works. But yeah, whether it's an adapter or if you know, direct connection is made, Tesla will definitely manage that so that we can, Cybertruck customers can use V3 as well. I'd be shocked if that was not the case. It wouldn't make any sense. Hey Rob, if you change Google Maps to pedestrian mode, let's see. Get back to a dark screen here. If you change Google Maps to pedestrian mode, it shows the elevation. Fremont to San Diego is a net negative 13 feet. Excellent. So that's awesome. So that means that Tesla's not just sitting there taking advantage of some huge downgrade in elevation, which obviously would extend the range pretty significantly for something like the Semi. And, you know, you lose that on the way back if you need to actually make it back with using 93% of your state of charge. So, yeah, Tesla, you know, not taking any advantage of that. They said they're not using any aero tricks, just right off the production line. That's great. That's really great. Thanks for finding that, Misha. Appreciate that. Let me see here. I'm excited. This is exciting. I mean, we have not had a Tesla product, like a truly new Tesla product since the Model Y. And like Elon said, it's 5 years now since the Semi unveiling. Kind of crazy that it's been 5 years already. I think I started Tesla Daily like right before that Tesla Semi event. I don't know. If anyone's been listening for a long time, it's... I think a couple of my first interviews were with semi-reservation customers, and I just remember this guy, I think it's Chase. He's a trucker up in Canada, and he had ordered one for his small trucking business, and he was super excited about it and talking about taking it out into the bush in Canada and stuff. It was fun stuff, but excited for that to start rolling out to customers. Pepsi first, and I'm sure Tesla will be utilizing the trucks between them, probably taking up most of the production for quite some time. If you don't remember, Elon had said that they're hoping to produce 50,000 in 2024. So I would assume that'll probably come from Giga Texas. You know, we don't know that for sure. Maybe they'll just continue producing it at Giga Nevada. But I think that's more of just a small scale production line at this point. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. Really appreciate that. All right, yeah. Brian, you should buy one to celebrate. Honestly, I'm kind of sad I didn't reserve one. Maybe we could have like crowdfunded that and then resold it or something. Just try to get an early delivery. I don't know. It would have been fun. I think there are actually a couple of YouTubers out there that probably have a little bit bigger channels than mine. Can probably afford that a little bit better for content production. That I think have placed orders, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, when and if those people get them. All right, so we've got some details here from Ron. Empty diesel tractors weigh between 10,000 and 25,000 pounds. Empty trailer weighs 11,000 pounds. So big range there. But if, you know, you're looking at the low end there between the two, 21,000 pounds up to 36,000 pounds, and the math that we just walked through was somewhere around 37,000 pounds, and there's probably a decent chunk of an error bar on that, maybe a couple thousand pounds. So looks like some overlap, and then you've got the extra 2,000 pounds that you can have in terms of capacity, so that helps. But on the lower end, it looks like maybe some payload capacity potentially given up with the Tesla Semi. But again, we'll do a little bit more research on that. Do you expect the North American charging standard chargers to reach outside of North America to support Semi and Cybertruck 1 megawatt charging? Kind of similar here. I would expect that. Short answer, yes. I would expect that Tesla would do kind of what they've done in Europe, where they've got, you know, it depends on when superchargers have been deployed, but we've seen at times where they've done two cables, will go to the Tesla connector, one that goes to CCS. I think now they just do CCS, and then the vehicles have CCS. I'm not in Europe, so I don't keep as close of a watch on that stuff, but I would imagine that, yeah, Tesla would, again, probably handle that with adapters or a couple of cables. That would be my guess. But yeah, hopefully they would, you know, offer that rate to customers. Well, sorry about that. Let's see. Alex asking, Cybertruck also 1000 volt architecture. That's definitely what it sounded like. You know, they said I think they said directly that that's coming to the Cybertruck, and he said other future vehicles too. So, I think Lucid's 800. I think Tesla's 400. So, yeah, again, probably need to double check on that too. But, yeah, this is going to be definitely a pretty big step forward and a pretty big change for Tesla with that architecture. And again, it goes back to the excitement that we really haven't seen a new vehicle introduced from Tesla since the Model Y, which is an extension of the Model 3. Like, this is kind of the first clean sheet design that we have seen from Tesla since Model 3 in early 2017. So exciting to see this on the road. And obviously it's giving us some hints at where Tesla's heading with other vehicles, which is really fun to see. Thank you for that, Court. Appreciate that. All right, well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to wrap it up yet. I'm kind of having fun just sitting here and chatting. I wish it was a little bit more interactive than just me reading your guys' chats, but, you know, eventually we'll have to get some Twitter space stuff going. But, yeah, this is fun. It's exciting. It's good to have some excitement back for Tesla. It's been a pretty challenging couple of years. Not a couple of years, but, you know, last year. And from a just business standpoint, a couple of years, as Elon alluded to there, with just everything that's happened from COVID going forward. So it's nice to kind of, you know, obviously a lot of that stuff still persistent, but, you know, this feels kind of like a, maybe not inflection point, but a nice step back to the progress and the excitement of Tesla from that era, kind of separated out from the excitement that we've had in the stock during during that period of time. Surfer Boy 3000, how do you think this affects the stock price tomorrow? I can't really see it being a negative. It doesn't mean the stock is going to go up. I think there are probably bigger influential, you know, other things are going to be more influential to how Tesla trades than this, because the market doesn't really seem to care too much about new products from Tesla. And probably the most poignant example of that would have been the Model 3 release. I mean, you've got 100,000 people lining up for a car that they've never seen before, and the stock's like hardly moving that day. Well, it's pretty obvious what that means. Still took a couple years for the market to figure it out. So usually the market doesn't care too much about these things. Who knows? That can change. Like, I mean, the Cybertruck event, the stock was down like 5 or 10% the day after. So tough to say. I mean, I'm excited about it. I don't really care what happens tomorrow, but it's, you know, it's hard to see anything in here that would be a negative for the stock. And I think it's exciting. I think them talking about the charging, talking about the 1000 volt architecture, talking about the Cybertruck makes that feel more real. And the Cybertruck is something that will have an effect on the stock when that really starts production in earnest. This might make it seem like that's a little bit closer. So I think from that perspective, that's also a positive. Tesla North American charging standard supports up to 1000 volt and is backward compatible, i.e. the plug is the same. Okay. Appreciate that, Shane. I do remember that now that we talked about that was up to a megawatt. It's kind of interesting on the semi. I think we had done some math before. I can't remember what we used as our reference for that math, but it kind of seemed like the charging rate would have to be above 1 megawatt. So I don't know if they're just maybe capping it at a megawatt just kind of for marketing purposes and saying, you know, megawatt charging level. I don't know if that had a plus by it or not. I'm just trying to look through and see if we can see what we're looking at here. Um, Yeah, let's try to orient myself with this graph. But anyway, so hopefully we do see that 1,000 kilowatt or 1 megawatt rates from the same plug. Definitely looks like the semi is a little bit different though, so I guess we'll have to, you know, fit those pieces of information together at some point, see how those fit together. I'm trying to look on here if this has like kilowatt usage or not. I think it's just battery percent, so I don't think we get any hints here that we can like backward math into battery size, unfortunately. Yeah, just miles and elevation and battery percent. John, thank you. Yeah, can't wait. Cybertruck, man. So yeah, I don't know if I fully answered that stock price question, but my real answer is kind of who cares, right? Like, who really cares what happens tomorrow? Like, the semi is not gonna be the thing that changes, that sets the trajectory, I don't think, for the stock for the next week or month or whatever. It's gonna be whatever's going on in China and whatever's going on with the CPI and the Fed. Like, those are the main drivers of the stock right now, not the semi, and it's just the environment that we're in right now. So they said kilowatts per mile somewhere, somebody said. Well, we know it's less than 2. That's what they've said on their website. I don't know that we got any more precise information than that anywhere. Oh, here it is. Yeah, so 1 megawatt plus. Okay, so that's like power density or charging density, I guess. Ampacity. That's the word. For us non-electrical engineers, though, we'll call it density. Trying to see if there's anything that we can take away from that. So yeah, it's more than 3 times that they mentioned that. But yeah, 1 megawatt plus, so who knows what that plus is. A couple people saying they said 2 kilowatts per mile. I mean, on their website, they've always said less than 2 kilowatts per mile. I guess I didn't catch it if they said 2 kilowatts per mile exactly in this, but obviously that would then yield right around 1 megawatt hour for the pack size, or 1,000 kilowatt hours. And then they did actually have a little bit more range, so potentially even more than that. But I'm assuming they just reiterated what we've already known, which was less than 2. And a couple people saying 2 kilowatt hours. So I guess I would have to listen back to that and just make sure that they didn't say less than. But if it's 500 miles and 2 kilowatt hours per mile, obviously that's 1,000 kilowatt hours, and they still had 7% state of charge left. So if we again do some live math, my favorite thing to mess up, let's see. So we'd have 500 divided by 0.93, 537 times 2. So you'd be at 1,075 kilowatt hours if it was exactly 2 kilowatt hours per mile on that test trip that they showed us, which I'm a little bit skeptical of the information I'm getting from the chat, but someone saying kilowatts per mile is not a correct unit. I'm aware of that. Sorry if I misspoke. Obviously I meant kilowatt hours. So now Jason's saying less than 2 kilowatt hours. All right. Someone said Elon's tweeting some stuff. Let me pop over there and see if got anything on that. Yeah, nothing new there. All right, I'm getting into rambling territory, so I'm gonna wrap it up there. But appreciate you all. Thanks for hanging out with me and watching this. Definitely fun, definitely exciting to get a new Tesla product on the road, and hopefully not too many months from now we'll get our second new one in within a year with the Cybertruck, and hopefully we'll learn a little bit more about that. But really excited for Pepsi, really excited for Tesla. And yeah, if you're in the area on any of those routes, like, keep your eyes open. Get those pictures online so we can see these things on the road. But that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the, where are we at? Friday, December 2nd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.